Hello everyone, and welcome to the second of three Healthy Ninja Skills classes so you can kick life's ass before it sees you coming. Tonight's topic is how to think like a ninja. Thank you so much for being here. A little housekeeping before we get started though. This call will last approximately an hour and about half of it will be Q&A. I ask that you really take this time for yourself and don't multitask. Let yourself be present for a while. And I also ask that you find yourself a relatively quiet place to be. And if that's not possible, try to mute your line to save the rest of us from background noise once the lines are open. So let's all take a deep breath to get started in through the nose and out through the mouth. It's always nice at the end of the day to take a little minute. So my name is Stacey Spensley. I am a healthy life coach and the founder of CenterStageWellness.com. And I support overwhelmed men and women to make sustainable diet and lifestyle changes so they can feel in control and kick ass at life. Some of you on the call have worked with me before, but many of you have not. And I really thank you all for taking the time to join me. And I'm so excited to support you for these 3 weeks. A little background for those of you who don't know me yet. Last week, I talked about my transition from a stressed-out, insomniac, junk food vegetarian to a happy, healthy life coach. But that was just the surface of how I changed my diet and lifestyle. What I find again and again working with my clients is that the food isn't about the food, and that was true for me too. This week we're talking about changing our thinking, and this topic has made a huge impact on my life, even more so than my diet. When my husband and I first moved from Minnesota to California in 2009, I spent the first 10 months unemployed. We moved in the fall, which was the beginning of the theater season here, and all the positions for stage managers that I could find were already full. And if you've ever been unemployed, which a lot of people recently have, you know how not fun that is. Add to that a new city where you literally know two people, your spouse is working 60 hours a week, and you're sharing a car and an income, and you have a recipe for one unhappy person. And sure, we joined a local community-supported agriculture program right after we moved, and the biweekly vegetable delivery definitely increased our intake of greens, but I was home alone almost every day. I was stress baking like a woman on a mission to use up all the flour I could find in the city. I was sending cakes and pies and scones and cookies to work with my husband at least once a week. And I like to say I had the best catered pity party around. But Amtherts couldn't replace the sweetness that was missing from my life. I felt lost in California, and the magical happiness fairy hadn't found our new apartment yet, and I really didn't know what to do. And I've really found, especially with my clients, everyone has to hit their own wall or rock bottom or whatever that is, and it's different for everyone, but this is when I hit mine. And I couldn't keep waiting for something to make me happy. I had to go out and find it. And instead of hoping or wishing for it, I had to change my thinking and do something different. So I did. I went out and I made some friends, even though it was hard and scary. I started school to become a health coach, and a few months later, I ended up getting a job. But the most important thing is that I got back in the driver's seat of my own life and took control and ownership of my situation. So overhauling your whole life is a really terrifying idea, but by taking small steps, you make it doable and it adds up to big changes. And I really want to acknowledge that you've already started that by signing up for this class and showing up or listening to the recording. So tonight, I want to give you stealthy ninja tricks that will make you feel in control of your life instead of being a victim of your circumstances, show you that you're the only person holding you back, and help you realign the areas of your life that are just feeling out of whack. And I have to say, this week is going to be more challenging than last week. We're getting underneath the surface to the why of what we do, and stuff comes up for people. But just think of it as an experiment and as an awareness exercise, and be really patient with yourself. So three things that I want to clarify before we get going are the same caveats from last week. I use the word diet to mean the food you eat. It is not a method of restricting foods as a means of weight loss. Some of you have been my clients, some of you have done other events with me, and some of you are totally new, but wherever you are, you're in the right place. You have to start from where you are. It doesn't matter where anyone else is or what work they've done or where you wish you were. You have to start from where you are now, and that's totally okay. And then two phrases that might come up for you are, I know that already, or that won't work for me. And we're going to reframe those. So if you hear yourself thinking, I know that already. You want to think, what can I learn from this? And that won't work for me becomes, how can this work for me? And if you can't figure that out for one of these, just ask during the Q&A, shoot me an email afterwards. That's what it's for. So, intro done. If you're ready, let's get going with our ninja tips for this week. Tip number one, ninjas don't complain. I have done this exercise with groups before, and people have a love-hate relationship with it. This is a good kind of transition tip from our topic last week because I'm asking you to go on a diet. It's called the negativity diet. And even if you've done this before, I'm pretty sure that a refresher to hurt. So if you're familiar with any kind of law of attraction woo-woo crap, as I like to call it, you're probably basically familiar with this idea. Basically, the energy you put out into the world is what comes back to you. It's like karma or an energetic boomerang. You send out love and abundance, you get back love and abundance. You put out blame and guilt, guess what you get back? A big culprit of this is complaining. And I'm not saying that bad things or just general crap doesn't happen, but if you've heard the statistic that people are 20 times more likely to share bad news than good, we really tend to harp on the negative more than the positive. We love to vent, even though studies show it doesn't actually make us feel any better. And one area where this has manifested itself in my life is when I was working in theater. And I noticed that we were all working in this dark room all the time, and it really matched our moods. It was long hours and high-stress situations, and attitudes got worse as opening night approached. I would joke with my husband that we wore black to match our souls. I'm generalizing to a point, but negativity breeds negativity. In my particular job, there was an expectation of perfection with very little praise or support. There's just no time for backpatting, and 99% of the notes that are given are criticisms or problems that need to be fixed, and that's just how things work. But I'm a generally happy person, and I would find myself sucked into this energetic black hole. It's really, really difficult to keep up a good attitude surrounded by all of that negative energy. So how do we turn that tendency around? I have a couple different options for you, and you can try all of these. You can try one of them. You can, you know, again, see what works for you. So the first one is to focus on the positive. Pretty commonly when people say, oh, how are you? You just say, fine, okay, meh, whatever. Or even stuff that, you know, you're more likely to say that you're bad, that you're good, than you're good. So whatever your default response is, switch that to saying, I'm great, thank you. Have a little bit more energy, spend a little bit more positively, and you'll probably be surprised to find that you'll actually feel the way that you say. Give yourself permission to be happy. And I think it's a little bit sad that people are more surprised when we express happiness than when we express discontent. So let's work on changing that. So just try it for a week, and then if you really want to be a cynic, you can go back to gloom and doom if you want after that. Just give it a try. Another trick is to authentically compliment at least one person a day and really mean it. So maybe your cubicle neighbor could lose a few pounds, but maybe her sweater's a really lovely color, or she's wearing a great necklace. And maybe the cashier at Target is easy or friendly, and you can point out that they really made your day better. The easiest way to complain less is to be grateful more. So instead of focusing on the bad things that happen, really stress the good things that happen and appreciate the people that are there for you. Next, this is an awareness exercise, is catch yourself when you start to complain. Attach a mental red flag to all of your gripes and grumbling. And if you're talking to someone else, just say you're going to stop with that train of thought because it's not productive. So I've had this complaint before, well, not complaint before. I've had people comment on this before and say, well, I try to be positive, but then my coworker comes and she wants to complain about our boss, and then what do I do? So if somebody else is complaining to you, I have some coping strategies for dealing with negative Nellies, as I like to call them. So if someone comes over to gossip with you, you can say, you know, I'm really striving to have a more positive outlook this month, and I don't want to breed negative energy. They might think you're crazy. Shut, hey, could be worse. You have grumpy people. This one's a big one that I use a lot, is when somebody's just, you know, venting to you, say, you know, that must be really frustrating for you. What can you do to improve that situation for yourself? force them to confront that complaining to you is not going to change anything for them forces them to either shut up or take action. And that people who are trying to make anyone else feel guilty a good response is, instead of placing blame, let's see how we can best move forward. Or you can simply say, I'm doing an experiment to try to reduce the negativity in my life, and I'm working on not complaining this week. One of my clients did this in January, and her coworker ended up joining her. So that was a win-win. Not only did it help her improve her lack of complaining, but it helped just generally cheer up everybody in the office because they were both working together for it. And my last tip is to notice when you're criticizing yourself. We touched on this last week in the Q&A, but we say things to ourselves that we would never say to someone else. If you mess up, maybe you call yourself an idiot. Well, are you doing the best you can? Or could you improve? What needs to change for you to actually succeed? Be honest with yourself instead of critical, since self-criticism is really constructive. Now, I have a couple advanced ninja tips for those of you who have done this before or are just extremely, extremely optimistic. And something I love to do is to keep myself two lists in addition to a to-do list. Often when we look at a to-do list, we focus on what we haven't done. Instead, I keep two companion lists. One is a done list. So at the end of the day, I can see what I have accomplished, which makes me feel good instead of making me feel guilty about what I didn't make it to. The other one is my warm fuzzy file. And I have a Word document and I have a file on my computer. And my warm fuzzy file contains emails from family and friends and clients that make me feel good, or, you know, somebody sent me a Facebook message, I copy and paste it into there about moments that made me happy, or when people thanked me for doing something and it made me feel good. And if I'm ever feeling down or grumpy, I can look in my warm fuzzy file for an instant pick-me-up. Instead of having to wait for somebody to say something nice about you, you look at what they've already said. The one other advanced tip is that the flip side of this is to practice accepting compliments. When you start putting out more positive energy, you get more positive energy back, and you need to be ready to receive it. When you blow off somebody's compliment, you're actually being negative and denying that their opinion is valid. So when somebody says you did a good job, just say thank you. Or when somebody thanks you, say you're welcome instead of no problem. And if you find any of this challenging, that's totally okay. Like I said, it's an awareness exercise. It's not a test. You can't fail. It's just supposed to kind of highlight how you've been acting and see if there's any way you can improve. Just don't complain to anybody about how hard it is. So tip number two is that ninjas are not victims. My very first coworker I ever worked with was a friend of a friend, and I worked with her for free because she was broke and I was scared to charge people. So it worked out really well for both of us. But being broke was really the least of her problems. She is one of those people who, if she were a cartoon character, would walk around with a black cloud constantly overhead. She was about 300 pounds when we started working together. She was bipolar, narcoleptic, an emotional eater, addicted to sugar, you name it, she was probably dealing with it. And in a short period before we started working together, she had gotten divorced, gotten kicked out of her house, and had a miscarriage. She was, as I affectionately call it, a hot mess. And one concept that we started working with early on was the idea that things happened through us, not to us. Clearly, she had a lot of stuff happening, but she was walking around angry that all these things happened to her. She was just, you know, innocently strolling down the street and lightning struck her, basically, in her mind. She was a total victim of her circumstances, and she always expected bad things to happen. So when you walk around expecting the worst, guess what you get? So you can't control time or weather, and you can't control other people. You can, however, control how you react to other people. The first step is realizing that you're not a victim, but you are actually responsible for your own life. And that's not to say that you're at fault for everything that happens to you. Blame is blame, whether it's pointed outward or inward. The idea is not to blame yourself, but to own the fact that you have choices. I hear this all the time, and people say, well, I hate my job, but I don't have a choice. You know, in this economy, you know, there's nothing I can do. And that's simply not true. You do have a choice, several, in fact. You can quit. You might not want to because you face financial hardship or you don't have another job lined up, but it's within your power. So you could simply decide that you're not going to hate your job anymore and look for the things you like about it and appreciate that it provides you financial freedom and security or the ability to pursue your hobby since your job isn't mentally challenging, or you can do something about it. So when people say, well, I don't have a choice, unless you're literally being chained to your chair, you probably do. So now, this is my favorite exercise ever of all time. I have to give a shout out to Louise Hay, who is about 85 years old and crazy but awesome. But I want you to get out a piece of paper and write the words I should on the top. So even if you've done this exercise before, as all my clients have, do it anyway, and bossy, and you know it's good for you. Now, write down something that you should do. Maybe you should go to the gym more, or you should eat more vegetables, or drink less wine. Maybe you should be a better friend, or spouse, or employee, whatever it is, write it down. So, when you're done with that, now write down why you should do that thing. I'm going to use the example of going to the gym, since I hear this one a lot. I should go to the gym. Why? Because if I exercised more, I would lose weight. So let's break this down a little bit. By saying you should go to the gym but you don't, you feel guilty. There's a huge connotation of guilt attached to the statement that I should but I don't. Also, by saying that if you went, you'd lose weight, when you turn that around, you're saying that by not going to the gym, it's your fault that you weigh more than you want to. And that doesn't feel very good, does it? So now you feel guilty and shamed when you think about how you should go to the gym. That feeling isn't exactly inspiring anyone to go. For me, it more makes me want to wallow in self-pity with some chocolate and Netflix. Thank you very much. So instead, we are going to do the old reframe. So cross out the words, I should, and replace it with, if I really wanted to, I could. Aha, feels different, doesn't it? And now, instead of why, I want you to answer the question, why don't you? So in the example that we're using, I should go to the gym, now becomes, if I really wanted to, I could go to the gym. And if we answer the question, why don't I, another common one that I hear is, well, I don't know, because I'm lazy. I'm using this as an example because it's common and also because it's a cop-out, because you're not lazy. If you didn't have to do anything tomorrow, what would you do? Would you stay in bed, maybe for a while because you're tired, but not because you're lazy? So let's say you had 2 full weeks off and you caught up on your sleep, whatever. Would you literally just stay in bed all day? No. At some point you would get up and accomplish something. So maybe you're tired, maybe you hate running, and that's all you know how to do at the gym. Maybe the gym is out of the way and you just don't want to be in the car that long. Maybe you're embarrassed because you're so out of shape that working out is terrifying. Maybe you feel like the time at the gym could be better spent working or hanging out with your kids or your spouse. Maybe you're afraid you're going to be sore. But it's a different reason than saying you're lazy. By saying yes to the gym, you have to say no to something else, whether that something else is your hobby, your relationship, or sitting on the couch eating bonbons. So our thoughts and our beliefs create our actions. When we believe that we're trapped in a reactive state without power over our situation, we act that way. When we instead realize that we're in control of our decisions, we act with purpose. So this assignment is also in your handout, so you can try this with a couple different phrases. But this week I really want you to notice where you're saying, I should, and reframe that for yourself. Don't blame yourself when you catch yourself. I still do it, and I honestly use this exercise almost every week with myself and other people. But being aware of where you're giving away your power is the first step to reclaiming it. And this doesn't mean that you have to do the thing you say you should do. But unpacking the real reason you're not doing it and alleviating the guilt is a huge first step. So if anyone has an I should that they want to share on the Q&A, this exercise is really great, but it's actually a lot better doing this with somebody else. It's often really difficult to get perspective from inside your situation. So this is one of my favorite exercises to help people with and really come up with the actual reasons behind why you're not doing what you really want to do. So this brings us to tip number 3, that ninjas are in alignment. And I like to compare this to going to the chiropractor. And I want you to write this part down. So I want you to write down what the three biggest priorities are in your life. It might be your family, your career, your health, fitness, volunteering, education, saving furry woodland creatures, being famous, whatever is important to you. No one's going to see these, so be honest instead of giving your Miss America answer. If you don't give a crap about world peace, that's totally cool. We each have our own unique gifts to share, and diplomacy just might not be your cup of tea, and we're not here to judge. So, got it? Good. Now that you have your priorities in your life, I want you to write down the three activities that actually take up the most of your time. That's commuting, working, ballroom dancing, watching Star Trek reruns on Netflix. Whatever it is you do, where are you actually spending your time? Now, I want you to compare those two lists. Are they the same? If so, awesome. You totally have your priorities in alignment. You're a rock star. If not, don't worry, you're still awesome. You just have some adjusting to do. And this is when we start feeling resistance. We're putting our time and energy into something that isn't a priority. And what happens is we start to resent the fact that it's keeping us from doing what we really want to do, and it's totally natural. So I want to take a page from Ms. Danielle Laporte. She generally focuses on business, but I think this is a good rule for life. So she says that often we focus on what we want to achieve. Money, acquire office, a certain home or car, a pay level, clothes or shoes or handbags that will show that we've arrived, whatever that might be. And there's nothing wrong with setting tangible goals and moving toward them. Without goals, we don't have any purpose. However, I want you to write this down too. She says what's the most important is how you want to feel in your life. Again, no Miss America answers. Maybe you want to feel fulfilled or valued or important, secure, powerful, respected, fun. Whatever the word is, find what feels right to you. And this is your life. You know yourself best. There are no wrong answers. So take a second and kind of think about how do you actually want to feel in your life. Maybe you want to feel needed. So now that you have a word or several words describing how you want to feel, I want you to close your eyes. For real, just do it. So if you're multitasking, knock it off and shut your eyes. I want you to close your eyes and picture what your life looks like when you feel the way that you just listed. Magic, this is the magical unicorn and rainbow version. This is not based in your present reality or circumstances. So instead of thinking, well, I really want to feel this way, but I don't make it up. No, not how it's going to work. Magic. So perfect world, you feel exactly the way you want. So eyes closed, where are you? What are you doing? What are you wearing? How is your hair styled? What's the weather like? What kind of car do you drive? What city or place do you live in? What's your home like? Just get a vision that matches the feeling you want to have. This isn't necessarily the perfect life that you want. It's just about achieving the feeling that you want. So these aren't specific things that you need, but they're representative of that feeling. So I want you to think about the areas that are disconnected between that vision and your current life. So I'll make up an example. Let's say you wrote down that you wanted to feel fun, and maybe your vision of your fun life is having bright red hair and colorful clothes and jewelry. You live in an urban loft and drive a sporty little car. But in your real life, you have brown hair, you're wearing gray yoga pants and a sweatshirt, you can't even find your jewelry, you live in the burbs, and you drive a used minivan. I'm just going for contrast here. There's nothing wrong with either of those pictures. And this doesn't mean that you're not fun. It simply means that what you want and what you have feel out of alignment. This also doesn't mean that you need to go dye your hair red and buy a new car. But the vision isn't to give you a shopping list of external trappings. It's to point out what your idea of fun is. It helps you discover where you can take action to realign your values and your actions. So think about what fun you does. Maybe fun you shops at boutiques instead of at the mall. So what can you do for a first step? Maybe it's just looking on Etsy.com for a unique handmade piece of jewelry. You don't even have to buy it. Maybe you put together a Pinterest board of things that you like to look at. Maybe you want a more urban feel to your home. You're not going to, you know, sell your place in the burbs. But maybe it's as simple as a single piece of decor like modern throw pillows or repainting your desk or painting your office a different color. So think about what would bring you closer to the way you want to feel. What actions can you take? And what would that mean for you? So you don't have to overhaul your whole life. Just think about the idea. So what does super awesome feeling you do that normal everyday you doesn't allow you to even think about? And why? So that is lesson number two. Ninjas don't complain, ninjas aren't victims, and ninjas' lives are in alignment. All of these tips are included in the worksheet, along with some exercises, variations on the one I just went through, to keep you on track. If you aren't happy with where you are, you have to do something different than what you're doing now to get different results. These exercises aren't a magic wand, but it's simply exploring what's keeping you from being as happy and healthy as you want, and it's time well spent. And you don't have to tackle them all at once, but your homework for tonight is to pick one technique to try tomorrow and see what changes for you. If you're only going to do one, try the negativity diet. It'll be worth it, I promise. So I know this material is a little more complicated than last week's call, so be patient with yourself, try it a little bit at a time, and just see what comes up for you. So thank you so much for being here. I'd love to hear what your biggest takeaway was, what you're going to apply to your life, or even if you had a moment of, I know that, that you turned around. But I'm Stacey Spensley from centerstagewellness.com. I'd love to connect with you. You can find me on Twitter at Stacey Spensley, on Facebook at facebook.com/centerstagewellness, or email me at stacey@centerstagewellness.com. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening, and I hope to see you all next Wednesday when we learn to act like a ninja. Have a good night.